always try to start with a crummy joke, and I don't have one tonight, so sorry about that. Or you're welcome, whichever way you want to look at it. I'd like you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. This is not a message that you're unfamiliar with. Everybody knows the message of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Something really struck me several months ago about this, and I'd just like to share it with you tonight. As you have your place there, I want you to turn back to Ephesians. Hold your place there in 1 Kings and turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. There's a lot of, shall we say, seemingly contradictory statements in the Scripture until you study God's Word fully to see what it is the Lord's trying to tell you or teach you as a Christian. There are things that, well, how can this be and this be at the same time? How is it that this is what God wants me to do as a Christian, and yet He wants me to do this both at the same time? And that's one of those things that we're going to talk about tonight. Look at verse 25 of Ephesians chapter 4. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now look at this next verse here. It says, read the first three words with me. Be ye angry. Read that again. Be ye angry and sin not. Who's my grammar people in here? Who just is Johnny Grammar or Janie Grammar? Anybody? Amanda, you look good. You look like the person. Who is the subject, or what is the subject of be ye angry and sin not? Understood? You. God is saying here through Paul, you be angry. It's a command. Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to be angry? And then look what it says. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Skip down there to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Father, I truly believe you give me this message, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that all of us would receive it in the attitude, Lord, with which you bestowed it to me and showed me, and maybe many here have already seen this, and it doesn't, it's something that they use every day in their daily lives. So I pray, God, each one of us would look inside of our own hearts and try to apply something here tonight to our own lives as Christians. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, speak through me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You all know the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And actually, this is just one example, but I want to try to point some things out to you tonight. My message is entitled, Don't Get Glad, Get Mad. Now, you always see the not hefty, it's their competition, glad trash bags, and they tear and all that, and they say, don't get mad, get glad. Well, I'm challenging us tonight as Christians, don't get glad, get mad. Get mad. Now, before you shut me out or tune me out, Hear me out. Please do. Or you could also call this message, Why No Revival? Why No Revival? This story here of Elijah and the prophets of Baal is probably one of the most classic instances of revival recorded in the Old Testament, in my opinion. Let's look at it, starting in verse 17. I'm not going to take a long time with each passage. In verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. I got to tune this thing down a little bit here. It's driving me crazy. Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Ahab's talking to Elijah. Can you tone me down there a little bit? Driving myself nuts. Ahab says to Elijah, Hey, aren't you the guy that's troubling Israel? Now this is Ahab. He's the king of Israel. He's the big tamale. He's the head pumpkin, right? Look at what Elijah says to him. In verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. He says, don't pin this thing on me, king. You're the guy. You're the one that's making a mess of things around here. You're the reason there's a famine in the house, in the land. It's because of your wickedness. It ain't because of me. Now look at what he says here in verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and you know how it says. He says, you get all your wicked, godless prophets, and you come up and you meet me on Mount Carmel, and we're going to find out who's God and who's not God. And they can call on their God all they want to, and I'll call on my God all I want to, and we'll see whose God calls fire down first. And then we'll just lay it down there and say, whoever's God calls down fire from heaven, that must be the real God. And I love this because Elijah stands right up to that king and points his bony finger in that king's face and says, look, pal, you're the problem, you're not the solution. And I've got a solution for you. You send your cronies up here and meet me on the top of Mount Carmel, and we'll see whose God is God. We'll see who's right and who's wrong.
Amen.
I want to challenge you with some thoughts tonight. And I said, Lord, these people are going to think this is the only thing I know how to preach, is this one topic. And he said, I don't care. Just keep on preaching it.
Yep.
But this is my topic. Why no revival in America? Why no revival in America? You can look at each other. I can look myself in the mirror. That's the problem with America, folks. We're the problem with America. It's not the people out there that's living godless, because they've lived godless for 6,000 years, and they're going to continue to do so. It's me. It's you. It's us. We're the problem. But we're also the solution. We're the problem and we're the solution. I want to challenge you with something here. First of all, why no revival? Challenge the world when they challenge your Lord. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I want you and I want me. I'm speaking to me as well as you. Christian, tonight, we ought to be challenging the world when they challenge our God.
Right.
See, I drive myself crazy with this. America drives me crazy with this. 1984, Jim Baker came out and had all of his sin problems that he did, and of course it was plastered across national television, and then Jimmy Swaggart, you know, not too many months later. So my Jewish boss says to me, well, we see what your people are doing again, don't we? I said, well, first of all, they're not my people. And secondly, what are you doing? And I said that because he was living in sin with a woman, and he just got done dumping her for another woman he was living in sin with and had a child out of wedlock with. I said, you've got no affair in this. I said, and plus they're not my people. Okay, they lump you all in with, you know, you get lumped in with all that baloney. But what I'm saying to us as Christians tonight is, when somebody comes up to you, lost person, a godless, humanist, evolutionary, whatever they are, and they start saying, ah, you know, all the Bible's full of mistakes, and you know, if there was really a God, why'd all the babies have to suffer? And you know, what about Africa and all these people in Africa are starving to death? Challenge that, folks. Don't just stand there and say, well, you know, everybody's got their views. You know, I don't know what to, you know. That's what's wrong with America. We're not challenging the world. The other day, my son went down and put in an application at Ye Old Cracker Barrel. And so he put down, like he always does, a big fat X over top of Sunday, you know, because they put on their hours you can work. Sunday. And I said, son, here's what you tell them. Because they're going to come back to you and say, well, wait a minute, you put down here you can't work on Sunday. That's our busiest day of the week. You tell them verbatim, I cannot work on Sunday because it's against my religious beliefs.
Right.
And then when they blow you off and say, well, then we can't use you, then you say, wait a minute, are you practicing discrimination? You see, this is what's wrong with Christianity, folks. We won't stand up as Christians and say right is right, wrong is wrong, black is black, white is white.
Right.
Amen, Brother Mark.
Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Right.
Nobody else is going to say it, so I guess I better.
Amen. Amen, brother.
I had to get something from somebody. We won't stand up and challenge it. Anybody here work with a Muslim ever? I have. Anybody here work with any Jews? Get them. I'll pay you $5,000 for every religious holiday they ever worked. They don't do it. They will not do it. You find a Muslim that works Ramadan. They don't do it. You find a Jew that works Passover. They don't do it. Or Yom Kippur. They don't do it. Well, seemingly they still have their jobs. Why is that? Do you realize that in the state of California, Muslim children are allowed to bring their rugs to school and lay them out in the hallways and pray to Allah? Oh, didn't know that. Yeah, but they're telling me that I can't have my Bible in school. They're telling me that our children can't have a Bible in school and can't pray in class. And I know what the law says, and, you know, child initiated and all that mess. I understand all that. But what I'm saying is the reason it came to this is that we have to them and challenge them. Because we've got to get some godly convictions and pulled guts about us and stand up and say, hey, that's wrong. I'm not standing for that.
Amen.
Challenge the world.
Right.
You know what? A lot of times when you do, they'll pull a, well, you know. They may not like it. They may walk away cursing, but they'll back off. You say, well, Mark, you're really painting a different picture of Christianity. Just hear me out. Another one, I'm going to pass right over this just for sake of time. If you look at verse 30, Elijah says, okay, so they go through their whole ritual. I'll just put this in there because I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell this. In verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. You know what? I've got a friend of mine that's a Christian. His daughter's cutting herself. We got cutters, as the kids call them, cutters inside of Christianity. God help us. That's what pagan people do. And they've got emotional problems and psychological problems and all this and that. I understand all that. I do. I really can appreciate it. But what I'm saying is, God help us as Christianity to get back on track where we need to be. If we're teaching our kids right and raising them right, they're not going to be cutting themselves. Because the reason they're cutting themselves is they feel like they have nothing to live for. Or they want some kind of extra attention or something. But verse 30, after all that stuff happens, and Elijah says, okay, now you come over to where I'm at now. And Elijah, basically he's saying, I'm drawing a crowd over to me. You draw a crowd around you sometime. I used to work at Lowe's, and maybe I told this story already. But I used to work at Lowe's, and I got basically hired in there because of friend of mine from the church I was affiliated with. And so I was there about 3 weeks, and nobody would give me the time of day. Nobody wanted to talk to me. So, I mean, you know, I'm not Frank Sinatra. I realize that. But I try to be a friendly type of a fella. So I said, hold it, hold it, hold it. I said, what's the deal around here? How come everybody's won't even give me the time of day, won't even answer simple work questions with me? And finally somebody had the guts to come up and say, do you know that guy over there? I said, yes. Are you friends with that guy over there? I said, well, we know each other. We go to the same church. And they said, the reason nobody in this shop will talk to you is because of him. They think that you're best friends because you go to the same church and because he got you in here. And he's the biggest joke in the whole place. And so I said, oh, okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. So this fellow proceeded to make himself known to me in the lunchroom at Lowe's. 25 people sitting in the lunchroom. And so he's got his newspaper there, and he cracks the newspaper down and makes a joke at me mockingly. Now, I'm his associate pastor of his church. And he's mocking me in front of his peers. And says, oh, Mark, I think I saw you down there Friday night at the nudie bar, didn't I? Let me tell you something. This old little 5'10", 201 was pretty hot under the collar when he said that. And I came right down to him, and I just went like this. You know what, pal? You might go to those places, but I'm a Christian. I say I'm a Christian, and I act like I'm a Christian. Amen. And I don't go to those places.
Amen.
And this lost man right beside him said, well, praise the Lord. I said, that's right, praise God. And I'm not going to have no talk of that. I'm not going to have that.
Right.
And the whole place just looked at me. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know what to say. Stand up. Draw a crowd.
Yeah,
have something. We've got the most important thing in the whole world to share. But if we want to live like the world, the message isn't going to get out. The message is not going to get out. Look at the second half of verse 30, and I hurry. All the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You want to know why there's no revival in America? Because in Christian homes everywhere, nobody's reading their Bible. Nobody's praying. You know, this is not prayer. Dear God, bless the food and help us to not get divorced. Amen. That is not prayer, okay? That is some little ritual that you learned from your parents. You're not talking to God. You let your daughter, your son, get on the verge of death one time and see if it doesn't make a praying man or woman out of you.
Right.
And then we wonder why all these problems come into our lives, because God wants you to get on your knees and actually pray and talk to him.
Amen.
God wants to hear from his children.
Yes.
Repair the broken altar in your home. When's the last time you read your Bible, Christian? When's the last time you prayed, Christian? How long would your marriage last if you never talked to your spouse? Except for over the breakfast table when you said, pass the salt, amen. How long do you think your marriage would last? Not too long. God's relationship is no different. Talk to God. And what the Lord is saying to us is, hey, if I've got to bring some struggles and some strife and some problems and turmoil in your life to get you to talk to me, well, then so be it. He's our Heavenly Father. He wants to hear from us every day, every single day. Get into this habit. I learned this from Dr. Cummins. I sit up on the bed like this. Ugh. And that really is me. Now my wife, that kind of a life is disgusting. I don't understand that. She flies out of bed with a cape, you know, it's Saturday. We won't talk about why she's happy it's Saturday. But this is me. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Okay. What day is it? Where am I? Who am I? And I climb in that shower and I say, morning, Father. Morning, Lord. God is my witness. That's the first words that come out of my mouth. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm saying, what is your relationship with the Lord? What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Repair the altar of the Lord. Do you have family devotions? I'll be the first one to say, not too great. But that is what builds a Christian home. Yeah. Gather around that table and say, Johnny, what do you think about this? Sorry, Johnny. What do you think about this chapter? Right. Mary, what do you think about this verse? This is what God is trying to teach us as a family. Yeah. Personal devotions, family devotions. And here's one other altar that's pretty broken down, I don't mind telling you, is this altar right here. What's your membership? 350, probably? 250. I don't know that I've seen more than 35 people come to this altar at one time. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm smart enough of a guy to know there's more problems than 35 in this room. There's more than 35. I got 35 problems. Why don't you visit the altar? I want to challenge you with that. I see it declining year on year until you tell me, preacher. Year on year on year. The people that visit the altar, the numbers are declining. There's a reason for that. Because you don't want to talk to God, because He's going to tell you what to do, and then, like Brother Mike said, you're going to have to turn a deaf ear, or you're going to have to submit. Visit the altar. Even if you get down here and you have nothing to say because it's been so long that you talked to God, say, well, God, I know I should be here a lot more. So here I am. Amen. And then go back and sit down. You know why? Because the next time the Holy Spirit comes and knocks on your heart's door, it's going to be a whole lot easier to walk down that aisle. Get in a position where you do business with God on a regular basis. You say, well, I don't want people thinking all these terrible things about me. They're going to think I'm a philanthropist if I go down there. I just thought I'd throw that word out. I don't know why. They're going to think these terrible things if I go to the altar. You know what they're going to think? They're going to think there's a person that talks to God. That's what they're going to think. And you know what? You know what? They're going to be right. Visit the altar. Repair the broken altar. Look at verse 31, 32. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench and so forth. I want to say this to you. Pardon me. Do things for a reason. We used to have a dean at college. He didn't last too long. He decided to make a lot of addendums to the school booklet. I guess we didn't have enough rules. So it wasn't 3 months, and we had 24 million rules. You can't do this, and you can't do the other, and you can't do the other, and you can't do the other. So long story short, when he left, the next dean that came in said, scrap all those crummy rules. You say, why do you say that? I'm saying this to you, Christian. Do things for a reason. What are you talking about? When you come to church, it should be for a reason and for the right reason. Not because, well, grandma expects us to come to church, so we're going to go to church. Or Aunt Mary, you know, she is going to give us those gift certificates to Kohl's at church, so we better go and get those. Or, you know, the Johnsons ask us out to dinner, so I guess we got to go to church to get, you know. Come on. That is pitiful. Have a reason, a good, godly, solid, fundamentally based reason to come to the house of God. Do things for a reason. Moving along. So we see what happens. Of course, Elijah prays the prayer. Look at it in verse 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. B.R. Lakin had a phrase that he used to say all the time, that the church is getting so worldly and the world is getting so churchy that you can't tell the difference between the two. And that was 30 years ago. Look at it today. Everybody, just come as you are. You know, pick up your sub sandwich and your cup of coffee and come on into church in your, you know, in your Daisy Dukes. That's not church, folks. That is not church. And what I'm really getting at about this point is, everything that you do accomplish in your life, give God the credit for it. Don't take the credit for yourself. He made us. He created us. He put these thoughts and feelings in our heart for a reason. Use them for His honor and glory, not for our own. Now, here's what I want to show you. This is the whole crux of the message here in just a couple more verses. Look at verse 38 and 39. We know what happened. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and stones and dust and the water and all that. Look what happens in verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. That's revival. You want revival in America? I don't know about you. I don't really feel like being owned by China in the next 5 years. We already owe them $500 billion or whatever it is. But I really don't feel like losing America just yet. I'd like to hang on to what we've got and bring some old-fashioned hell-storming revival back into this nation of ours. But it's going to start in this building right here. It's not going to start just with this man or with that man that sits back there. It's going to start in the hearts and the lives of each one of us. I remember distinctly when I was a teenager, this was a common practice. You'd go out to dinner on a Saturday night or a Friday night, and you'd see people there from your church or circle of churches that you ran with, and they'd be playing the Beatles or some baloney like that, and they'd have it up nice, blaring nice and loud, and it wasn't 10 seconds. One of them dads was going to stand up and go back to the girl and say, hey, can you turn that junk down a little bit? I'm trying to concentrate and eat here and have a good time with my family. We don't do that today. You don't see that today. Well, they might get offended. Good!
Yeah.
Offend somebody!
Amen.
Get mad!
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't want to offend nobody now. We don't want to ruffle no little feathers there, preacher. Baloney. Now, I want to get back, and I'm going to come back to this in just a second, but I want to show you this. It says here in verse 40, after the people turned back to the Lord, look at verse 40, Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape.
Yeah.
He killed them all. 450 of them puppies. Killed them right on the spot. You say, Brother Mark, are you telling us to go commit mass murder in the name of the Lord? No, please hear me on that. This is my big disclaimer for the message. Do not murder anybody and tell them that Brother Mark told you to do it. That's not my message, but this is my message. Stand up and have something to stand for. And open your mouth. God gave you a mouth. God gave you a tongue and a voice. Use it for His sake. I want to show you something. I've been waiting all night for this. In Lester Olof's day, he would call this a one-eyed demon. That's what Lester Olof used to call TV, was a one-eyed demon. You know what? Here's Christians today. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, my. I just can't believe they said that. I just can't believe they said that. You know what? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out how much sin comes over that box. When my daughter was 3, we were sitting, I'm just telling you like it is. We were sitting there watching a movie. 2 people were up to here in bed. And she walked in and she said, "They're naked." She didn't see anything, but she got the implication. She got the implication. She was smart enough to figure out that they're trying to tell you that there's 2 people in bed together, naked. She knew what it meant. But you see, today we just stand there and we say, "Oh, my, my, my. Look at the way America's going. Dear, 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 me, 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 what are we going to do about this nation of ours? Tisk, tisk." Why don't you try getting mad one time? It feels pretty good, let me tell you. Yes. Why don't you try picking something up like this and say, "I'm not having it anymore!"
Amen.
Why don't you, why don't you try that one time?
Yeah.
Just once.
That's what I do.
Why don't you pick up one of these, National Enquirers.
Yeah.
Stinking rag magazine full of naked women. Or all you got to do is open the JCPenney catalog if you want to.
Yeah.
And say, "We're not having this stinking filth in our house anymore. It's getting out of here."
Right.
Get mad.
Yeah.
Get excited.
Yeah.
And use some zeal and fire for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now I want you to turn back to Ephesians for a minute. The bug is healed. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Verse 26. "Be ye angry and sin not." See, here's the problem with Christianity. You want to know what makes us angry? 2 days before Christmas, somebody takes our parking spot. That's what makes you angry. The secretary made a mistake on my paycheck, minus $40. Now I'm steaming hot, buddy. You know what? This is what should make you angry.
Amen.
Is that filthy garbage,
right,
that you're allowing in your household,
right,
that I'm allowing in my household.
Yep.
Why don't you turn that thing off once in a while, open your Bible once in a while, and say, "Hey, God, I'm still here. I'm here to be an example and a witness to Christianity." Here's the problem, folks, right here. Oh, my stars, my, my, my. Stand up for Jesus!
Amen.
Get mad!
Yeah.
We're mad, all right, but we're mad about the wrong stuff.
Right.
We're mad about all the wrong things. I'm going to read this to you real quick and we're done. Phinehas slew Zimri because he picked a Midianitish woman in Numbers chapter 25. Took a spear, bam, right through both of them. Killed them dead in a doornail. Joshua stoned Achan for stealing the goods from Jericho. That was God's property, by the way. Joshua chapter 7. Moses made the children of Israel drink the dust of the golden calf scattered over the water. Exodus chapter 32. Moses gave Korah, his friends and family and all their possessions a death sentence when they stood up to him in Numbers chapter 16. Earth opened wide up,
yep.
Swallowed them all down into the pit alive. They went to hell alive.
Right.
Numbers chapter 16. Jehu, I love that story. That's my favorite story, Jehu and Jezebel. "Well, what happened today, huh?" "Oh, harlot, sitting up in that castle tower. And he says, "Hey, who up here is for me?" A couple of eunuchs stuck their head out. "We are. Throw her down here." "Bee-hoo!" And then he gave her the thump-thump treatment. Any of you guys like doing the thump-thump treatment on some of them squirrels or, you know, whatever? You try to miss them, but, you know, once in a while it happens. But Jezebel, she got the thump-thump. And I kind of always like to think in my mind, he just went, "Yah, yah, thump, thump. Huh, let's back that up. Thump, thump. Yah, thump, thump." She got the thump-thump treatment. Jesus, just in case if you think I'm off base here, you look it up. Mark chapter 3, we're not going there, but Jesus was angry with the Pharisees because they were questioning about the man with the withered hand. It says he looked round about them with anger. You say, "Well, that was God." I understand that, but he was also a man, and he never sinned. He also drove out the money changers in Matthew chapter 21. You want to know what's wrong with America? Why no revival? Because we're mad about all the wrong stuff. We're mad about all the stuff that shouldn't matter a hill of beans, and we couldn't care less about what really matters. We couldn't care less about whether or not God lives in our home. We couldn't care less about whether or not America is going to see another generation before plunging into the pits of hell. Oh, my, my, my. My, my, my. What about my job, Brother Mark? I understand that. I've lived a year without a job before. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. But you know what, Christian friend? There's some things in this world more important than money.
Amen.
There's some things in this world more important than whether or not I have three square 14,000 calorie meals a day. Brother Mel, I hope you don't mind me telling this. Brother Mel told me once when I first got here, he said, "Brother Mark, we ate in the Philippines. I always had something to eat. I never went hungry. But every meal was the same meal, rice." Rice. You know, if we had to deal with that, we would lose our cookies. "What are we having for dinner today, Mom?" "What do you think, dumbbell? Same thing we had for lunch and breakfast." It's a provision. They were able to live and survive. Yes, they were happy and thankful. They had clothes on their back, food in their belly, a roof over their head. But no, no, no. Not here. Not in the land of opportunity. That's not enough. And if we don't get it, well, now we're hot. Now we're mad. Somebody's messing with my paycheck. Your paycheck, my friend, is not your God. Your God is your God. At least he better be.
Amen.
Let's get mad once in a while. Don't get glad. Get mad.
Amen.
Why no revival? Because we're not mad enough. I'm talking godly anger, folks. I'm not talking sinful anger. I'm not talking about living in the flesh. Please don't misread me. I'm talking about living in the Spirit and standing up and speaking out for the cause of Jesus Christ in this country. That's what's going to change it. Why no revival? Are you mad? Are you mad? Let's pray.
There needs to be a holiness and a godliness in our life. And we ought to be mad over sin. And it's good. The Bible tells us to eschew evil and to hate. We're supposed to hate evil. As he was preaching, I thought about, you know, Scripture says we're to contend for the faith. But we don't contend for the faith. We contend for the flesh. That's what these boob tubes and all those things are about. Folks, we ought to start getting priorities in our life, and there would be a revival if myself and other Christians around the country would start getting mad about sin, there'd be a revival. But we don't get mad at sin. We just go along with it. Then we become part of it. No wonder America's in the shape it's in. And someone even preaches about it, then you really, how dare them? By the way, Mark asked me before he ever preached, can I bust this thing up? I said, have you a fit? Tonight, a lot of us need to get down and just pray. Oh God, bring a revival to me. Lord, my life needs a revival. I'm not even going to sing. I'm going to have Rosie play the organ. We're going to have an open invitation right now. You can stand up and come down. If not, just sit there and just sit there. But those of you who want to come and pray, you come right now. We're going to pray for revival. We're going to come and get on our knees. Watch that glass. Don't kneel over there. There's other places. Find an altar at a chair or something like that. Don't kneel here where he busted everything up. There's glass particles. But you can just find a pew or something. Go around the sides. Go down the middle of the aisle, wherever, right where you're at. You can pray right where you're at. We need to get on our knees. Oh God, that man told me the truth tonight. I need revival. America needs revival, but America has to start with us. America has to start with me. Revival has to start with me. Revival has to start with you. If my people, which are called by my name, that's where it's at. My house, my family, my personal life. Got to get it out. We got to look in the mirror. I'm the one that needs revival. Don't look at somebody else. Well, I'm a lot better than that guy. And just by saying that, you just proved you're not. You need to get on your knees and say, God, bring revival to my life. Man, I didn't get to hit it a couple of times. I've been in stores. I've been in restaurants. And this is the truth. I've said, shut that devil music off. I have. And my family knows I'm telling the truth. My family, Brother Jack, they don't want to go out with me anywhere. Because I'm a loaded cannon. They never know what I'm going to say. A few years back, I went with Rosie and the girls to go run around. They were buying some dresses and stuff. I tried to go with them. I did, Brother Mike. I lasted about an hour and a half, maybe an hour. You ever go in them girl stores? First of all, you feel funny anyway. And we were going about an hour. And then Brother Cadaver, I couldn't take it anymore. And we walked in this little Deb, or I don't know what the name of it is. Only the little Deb I like is one that can't eat the cookie store. Little Deb, I love them little Debs. Debbie's shop or somebody's shop. I don't know, some kind of... Man, the music was going, you know, crazy. I couldn't take it. I literally couldn't take it. And I said, I can't take it no more! Just like I did just now, in that tone, in that loud. I said, you shut that devil music out right now. And there was a guy, there was another customer, and I told the guy, I said, I'm kicking the devil out! And I pointed right at him. I think he wet his pants. Because I think he thought I was going to come and choke him. Because when I get mad, I don't care who's in my, I don't care who you are. I get hot. I really do. And I said, turn this! And boy, throws, you know, man, they didn't care about the dress. They didn't care. We got to go. We got to go. Tammy said, come on, get up. Dad's flipping out. Dad's flipping out. Get out of here before we go to jail. Do you know what? I'm sick of it. They can do, we're supposed to tolerate them, but they can't tolerate us. And even in this Christian so-called, I've yelled at them. I have, I ain't kidding you. Matter of fact, everywhere I go, people say, hello, Reverend. Don't call me Reverend. Nobody's Reverend but Jesus. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we need to start hating sin.
Amen.
I mean that. That's the truth. And we'll sit there. Boy, I hope they do it one more time. I'm going to turn it off. Will that be one time? Just turn it off.
Amen.
Turn it off and read your Bible.
Amen.
I watch sports, and I love sports. It's in my blood. But I won't watch those half times.
Yeah.
You can't watch the commercials either because they're too evil. And really, Lester Roloff's really right. If we ever get really revived, we won't even have a TV.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me the devil ain't coming into your house through that TV.
Right.
You can say what you want. I have a TV. I'm not being holier than thou. But if you would get the truth, there's a lot of sin that comes in that TV.
Yep.
And this preacher really does monitor it. But as good as you can monitor it, that still slips in. As good as you do. And I'm particular what I watch, and I won't let any evil. I remember when Tammy was a little girl, we lived in Winchester, and some kids were staying over, and they put that TV, they put a show on. Tammy said, turn that off right now. They said, why? She says, my dad won't allow us to watch that.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
A devil.
Amen.
You know what, folks? We ought to get mad. And see, the world never sees us. We're too passive.
Yep.
I don't think we have to be raveling idiots screaming and yelling all the time, but I'll tell you one thing. I agree with what you say. When they say something about my God, I just come right back at them.
Yep.
Say, all right, if you think that, but let me tell you what my God says.
Amen.
And I can't punch him, but I can, you know, like we talk about slaying people. We can't literally take a sword, Brother Josh, and slay him, although I'd like to sometimes. I know God's still working on me. But I've got a sword here.
Yes.
I can slay him in the Word.
Yeah.
I can slay him in the Scriptures. But you can't because you don't know no Scripture. You ain't got nothing memorized, so you can't quote Scripture. So you can't, you don't even have a sword. Amen?
Yep.
See, I put it in my heart so I can... But I don't do it just to. I put it in my heart, and I let the Holy Spirit bring it out.
Yes, amen.
That's when it's effective. See, just to be able to quote's nothing. You should let the Holy Spirit tell you what you're supposed to say.
Yes.
Am I making sense to anybody?
Amen.
And if they would see that, if they would see that,
man, I can't help it.
Oh, it
feels good,
don't it? It does feel. After church, if anybody wants to hit that, for $1,